Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. It's not just those of a certain demographic and television viewing habits who are deeply upset by the death by suicide of Caroline Flack, but it has affected, one, because of her young age, two, because of the pressure she seemed to be under, especially from the tabloid media in the UK, and then social media and trolling, and then her own personal burdens at the moment. This is Laura Whitmore, and Laura Whitmore, who's now presenting Love Island, as you know, but she's had a stellar career and continues to have a stellar career in the UK after she moved from Bray. But this is Laura Whitmore expressing her upset yesterday on our BBC Radio 5 programme about what happened to her good friend Caroline Flack.
Anyone who's ever compared one woman against another on Twitter, knocked someone because of their appearance, invaded someone else's privacy, who have made mean, unnecessary comments on an online forum, need to look at themselves. Sorry. To the press, the newspapers who create clickbait, who demonise and tear down success. We've had enough. I've seen journalists and Twitter warriors talk of this tragedy and who they themselves have twisted what the truth is. You don't have to tear down someone to feel good about yourself. So to listeners, be kind. Only you are responsible for how you treat others and what you put out in the world. I've had messages, I've been harassed for just doing my job, and this is where the problem is. And I want to use my platform, this platform, to call people out because it's gone too far. Your words affect people. To paparazzi and tabloids looking for a cheap sell, to trolls hiding behind a keyboard. Enough.
And that was Laura Whitmore on her programme yesterday. Owen McDermott of 2FM. Owen, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
How are you? You knew Caroline Flack, obviously, through your work with Love Island.
I knew Caroline. I wouldn't go so far as to say we were good friends. We were acquaintances, and I'd met her many times over the years, and she was a giant bundle of energy. And I think, as Laura alluded to earlier in that clip you played, she certainly wasn't a flawless character. But she also was full of life, and Laura said again, she lived every mistake that she made. She lived it with the very full glare of media scrutiny. And a friend of mine is good friends with her, and we were tic-tacking yesterday, and he said, you know, the last week, Caroline, you know, she had her pending court appearance.
Yeah.
But he said there was a lot of people looking out for her, and she knew that. He said she was loved, and she knew, and she loved also. So one can only assume she had good people looking out for her. Because I've seen a lot of people speculate, were people actually checking in with her the last while? And he said yes is the answer. So I can only assume, in spite of the fact she knew she had support and good people around her, it was just, she was just pummeled so hard that she arrived at this conclusion. She hadn't got any other option. I think it's desperately sad, Joe.
And you posted on the glee with which the SH1T rags pursued her was apparent to everyone. Serious reflection and soul searching needed by editors, reporters, advertisers and legislators. What do you mean by that? Was it a blood sport?
Caroline was an entertainment presenter. She wasn't a politician. She wasn't Jeremy Paxman or a contentious figure. You know, I know that recently she had her troubles, but that aside, prior to that, she's an entertainment show presenter. And I read an article where a friend of hers said that, you know, Caroline would sit and cry for hours over how the press portrayed her appearance, her weight. You know, if you typed in, I was aware of Caroline being quite a polarizing broadcaster. I get a little bit of that myself. But for an entertainment show presenter, you typed her name into Twitter around Love Island time, and you would get tweets with thousands and thousands of likes going, God, I hate Caroline Flack. I wish they'd replace her. She's rubbish. She's this, that. I was very aware of that with her particularly. And it is that thing of people who don't like you are so much more likely to make their disdain for you known mm-hmm. than people who do like what you do. And Caroline's been very successful for a long time. So obviously she's got a lot of fans, and she wasn't getting gigs because she was a charity case. You know, the network do their homework and they say people like Caroline, but the people who didn't like her really let her know for a long time.
But is that not the world that, and I'm very conscious, I'm very conscious of saying things like, oh, this will bring up issues for families who had someone who died by suicide. But there's no need, because people who have young, especially young relatives who die by suicide, never let a minute pass before but not thinking about their loved one. But it does bring up certain aspects about bullying and but in that world, Owen, of celebrity, is it not? Do you not court publicity? Would she not be courting publicity to try and keep her name up there? I'm not saying bad publicity, but is it not a dance with the devil when you're playing with the tabloids, as Harry and Meghan have discovered and hightailed it off?
I guess say consumers, say the media. Like, I would say newspapers and content outlets are like political. They're like politicians. They'll bend themselves to suit what they believe the agenda requires. So if people stop feeding that kind of machine, like, I've had hundreds and hundreds of messages today from people saying they've deleted, you know, the Daily Mail app, various other apps. They're going to maybe stop kind of perusing the gossip pages like they had so religiously. I guess it's just a habit. Mm. And, you know, attitudes around drink driving in this country changed. And people thought that was embedded and beyond change. But, you know, clever campaigns caught people's attention and it happened. And I think the same can happen with empathy and people's awareness. Like, there's another 2FM presenter I talked to only this morning. I won't say their name. It was a private conversation. But they said they had a really tough time in their personal life last year. And at their lowest ebb, they read two comments online. And they said those two comments almost pushed them over the edge. They just said, it was like breaking points, you know? And it was stuff outside of work. It was just personal stuff, but they were not in a good place. And so two comments they said, and Caroline multiplied that by any number of thousands of comments, plus the media coverage. Like, you know, the Sun reprinted a greeting card that an artist had done as a joke, referencing her court case, saying, "I'll effing lamp you," and a little cartoon figure, I believe, of Caroline. And the Sun printed that. The Sun aren't printing that under the guise of caring about domestic abuse, which I guess was the charge level to Caroline. They were joking about it and her. You know. So that's what I say when it's a blood sport. That's just for clicks. They're not making some social commentary. They're not trying to better the public discourse. They're just trying to make money.
You also say, words have more potency and power than you will ever realise and will linger long. This is also from Lord, long after you've forgotten you've even said them. This much I know. But, like, in one sense, what can you do about social media? What can you do about Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok? And it's now the world we live in. You can't hold back the tide. It's there, Owen.
I guess I've seen the one slight glimmer of hope is I've seen people across all different spectrums. I've seen, you know, journalists and celebrities and lay people and teenagers and people who could get a bus pass. I've seen so many people all saying, my God, this, there has to be a tipping point and maybe this is it. And I don't know what the answer is. Maybe is it a syllabus-led, is it a government-led syllabus on empathy around online existence, because it's going to come for everybody at some stage. I don't know what the answer is, but at least there appears to be some kind of collective awakening, even if it's, you know, not enough to clear up the problem. It's enough to have interesting conversations about how you might tackle it.
Let me bring in Aisling O'Neill. Aisling, good afternoon again.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you? Your beautiful daughter Maya died on the 6th of September,
yes.
And she died by suicide. She had been relentlessly bullied.
Yeah, she had. It was a mixed race, and she had been horrifically racially abused from a very young age. I'd previously reported that it began at 10 years of age. I recently discovered an email that I sent to the late Jerry Ryan back in September 2007, when Mia was four, where I detailed a racial experience at the hands of the same bullies that she mentioned in her final words before she took her own life. So her torment actually began at four. The reason the age 10 sticks in my mind is because there was a rather horrific incident that occurred when she was 10, and that was, I suppose, the standout incident to me that resulted in her going down a very dark path and ultimately her taking her life.
And you don't need the death by suicide of Caroline Flack to bring it up, but what is your reaction to...
Very saddened when I read it. Mia would have loved Love Island. I've never actually seen the programme myself, but I often heard Mia speak about it and be racing up the stairs saying Love Island is about to start, and she would have loved Caroline Flack. And if she was here today, she'd be very saddened by it. And it brings it all back to me. Any suicide I hear about, any person that I see struggling online, I find that since Mia's passed and we're raising more awareness, I see, like Damien just said, that there's a lot more people speaking out. When I see anyone struggling, it affects me because I have a constant fear that here's a person reaching out just like Mia did before her death. And I'm hoping that somebody is going to be able to reach that person before they end up doing what Mia did.
And the whole area then, the whole platform of social media, that was also used, because that would have been the difference between that time when you sent the letter to Jerry and the last few years.
It would have escalated. It started off with, to her person. But there were incidences on social media as well, of racial abuse and, bullying, and she would have suffered in that way as well. Because when she was four, social media wouldn't have been as big as it is now. It had a factor. It definitely had a factor in her state of mind.
And they posted photographs and...
They did, and then we had,
images,
even after her death, we had the Tinder profile that was set up with her picture, stating that she was aged 32. And that caused us a lot of stress at Christmas time, trying to get the profile removed. It's still ongoing for us, and it will always be ongoing for us, trying to come to terms with it and hoping for better. We've been campaigning. I'm trying to establish the One Life charity, which will... We'll use it to create awareness around racism, bullying, mental health issues, services, the lack of services, hoping to fundraise to help in any way. There's a lot of people suffering out there, and our youths are suffering tremendously. I've immersed myself in the lives of Mia's friends and youths in general since Mia passed, and what they're dealing with on a daily basis is horrific. And I can totally understand why they are all suffering with anxiety and depression and feeling a sense of not being worthy enough, because everyone is living their lives through social media and everyone is portraying their best life. And nobody is out there really telling what really goes on in life. And, it's so sad for them that they just have to live up to this standard of perfection all the time. And it's huge pressure. It's a huge, huge pressure on all of them.
Owen McDermott, 51551, by the way, if you want to contact us, joe@rt.ie. Owen, have you been, you mentioned or alluded to it earlier, that you've been subject to...
It's like I said with Caroline, like I'm an entertainment broadcaster predominantly, and... But I guess I have a style that is quite polarizing. Like, the people who really like it, and that's why I still have a job. So I know I can do a certain style of broadcasting and do it well, but the people who don't like it really don't like it. And I understand that. But certainly the people who don't like it will find you quicker and they'll tell you. And that's I guess, a consequence of the arena we've chosen to make our living in. But it is unavoidable, and it is ruthless. And it is that thing of the anonymity afforded by the internet. It just it invites people to be the most vicious version of themselves. Like, that, you know, people don't say that stuff in the street to you, but they say it online all of the time. And that's what I said. Like, you know, if I didn't maintain ratings and all this, I wouldn't have a job. So I know, in one sense, I can do the job, and there are people who enjoy what I do. But it is just that thing of the internet emboldening people to come for you, and that's it's a constant. And like Aisling was saying, kids living with anxiety now, you know, social media. Bullies may as well have your phone number. They can get you at nighttime in your bedroom, at the dinner table, on a night out. Like, it's always there.
They can follow you into your house, into your bedroom, into your head. Oh, and did I read somewhere recently that you're going to Australia?
That's rampant, unfounded speculation.
Okay. It's nothing to do with this anyway.
No,
I'm
hanging around.
No, I'd hate to lose you. Sorry, the place, the building would be suffering for the loss of you. Seriously, I think you have a great career already behind you, but you're great. I've said it to loads of people, and you're on our Christmas programme. Looking back at the year, you have a great career ahead of you, including this station, I think. If you decide to, that's what you want to do. Laura Whitmore, you'd know Laura as well, wouldn't you, Owen?
Yeah, Laura's a good friend, yeah.
Yeah. And how she got... Like, it's on tonight, isn't it, Love? I know they cancelled it last night.
Have they cancelled it again?
No, I don't know. I know they cancelled it last night, obviously.
Oh, they cancelled After Sun, which is the spin-off show. So I think, yeah, they air tonight with the tribute to Caroline, is right,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought she spoke very beautifully and passionately and compassionately on her radio show. But also, I feel sad for her because this is part of her legacy now. Like, people will ask her about this story in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time. You know, so it's just sad. There are no winners. Winners.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take a quick break. I want to let you go, and thanks for that contribution again. Aisling, if you can stay with us, Aisling O'Neill, who lost her daughter, Mia, in 6th of September. Mia died by suicide after suffering horrific racial abuse, both to her face and online, and the online stuff is just not even repeatable at this stage. It's so horrific.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about the death by suicide of the BBC entertainment broadcaster Caroline Flack, and Aisling O'Neill has been talking to us in the last few minutes about the death of her daughter, Mia, and the relentless abuse that she suffered. Jackie Fox. Jackie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
It was your daughter, Nicole, who died by suicide in January 2018. And she was... What was she subjected to, Jackie?
With Nicole, it started with physical abuse first. They never left her alone. They put cigarette butts out on her feet, gave her elbows in the face and the chest, you know, pretending to be dancing. They pushed her flying so hard into the corner of the table, they dislocated her hip. She was dragged down a flight of stairs by the hair. But they went with this. They decided that they would not bully, because I bully is like a playground word. They annihilated her, tortured her online, where every day she was told to hang yourself, kill yourself. They sent the video of a noose on how to hang yourself, slit your wrist. Everybody hates you. Nobody wants everything like that. All these horrible, horrible things that from a lively, bubbly, young, happy child into someone that had told me that she didn't want to live anymore. And the only she couldn't take her own life was because she didn't want to leave me heartbroken. Unfortunately, she did take her own life after taking an overdose in 2015. And then on the 20th or on the 18th of January, we found Nicole hanging from the banister
and
in the
was,
hall.
And she was 21. Your reaction to when you heard of, I totally know, not a, an hour or a minute goes by when you don't think of Nicole, but when you heard of a Caroline Flack's death and the fact that she died by suicide.
Yeah. There's two things there. Like, what gives people the right to tear strips off someone, to break them down so bad until they can't see past another day, especially when these people know, like the likes of Caroline and Mia and Nicole, that they're vulnerable already. What gives them the right to be able to do that? Nobody wants to die by suicide. Mm. It's just that they're pushed and pushed until they break and they can't find another way to stay. And can I just say, I know Caroline, she's a celebrity and it's like, it's all over the place and it's out there, you know, and it's awful, it's a tragedy, but it's not the first time. This is happening all the time, Joe, and it's just over here, it's just brushed under the carpet. You know, there's nothing being done about it. They're being turned away, you know, it's these people, you know, that are annihilating, torturing people like this just to make themselves feel better. It's all full of jealousy, drama and likes. These keyboard warriors that know they have the power to do what they want and say what they want because there's nothing going to happen to them until there's a law in.
And you've been campaigning for that.
Yeah, I've been campaigning for Coco's Law. Unfortunately, with the government is all over the place at the moment. And every legislation at the moment is in limbo.
Yeah.
But I did get a call from Brendan Howland, and just this week I got a call from him, and he is having a meeting on Wednesday. And what he wants to do is with me, and I have had a petition going on Facebook, and if you get over 20,000 signatures, it must be brought back up in the Dáil again. I have over 26,000 signatures now. So what Brendan wants to do is, after they discuss it with the meeting, he's going to meet me and going to call a press conference and hand the petition in of the media.
And it's specifically of online media wants policed more, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, because physical abuse, there is a law there, you know, can charge with physical abuse if the person, Nicole couldn't go ahead with it because she was going through enough, and then Nicole said, imagine I'd be a rat then and she would have gotten annihilated even more. But the Coco's Law would be online, to make online bullying a criminal offence.
And Coco, because that was her pet name and that was her... Say what is Jackie, 51551 1857 1585 Joe at rt.ie. Mary Sheehan. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And it's your daughter, Kayleigh,
who
died by suicide. And I know it's her birthday this coming Friday.
And she's 8 months past on Thursday, and she's 16 on Friday.
Okay, her birthday. And I know not a day goes by, but when you heard of not an hour ago, a minute, when you heard of what happened, Caroline Flack, what did it raise for you?
Very deeply saddened that these people can and break a person down so much that they end their life. And Caroline Flack was very well known in the industry. And my deepest condolences go out to her family at this time in their life.
And
it's just horrendous, Joe, that we live in a society where these people can go online and they're doing it from the comfort of their home, mm-hmm. and they're killing our children. It's a national crisis.
And obviously, I don't want any names. But would you know, Mary, who was bullying Kaylee? Did you know who they were?
I didn't know at the time, Joe, okay. because I would have been very strict with Kaylee. On her phone, I would check it. Kaylee would go annually to visit her aunties and her nanny and her dad. She came from a travelling background. Mm. And that's where Kaylee was. I received a phone call at 10 to 8 on the 16th of June, which would have been Father's Day. Uh-huh. I was sitting happily in my friend Victoria's house when I received the call from Kaylee's aunt telling me that I needed to go to Clonmel Hospital as soon as possible. I questioned Kaylee's aunt, asked her over and over again, what's wrong? What's wrong? The feeling of desperation and fear began to grip my body. As Kaylee's aunt repeated, you need to get her as fast as you can. I handed the phone to my friend Victoria as a shock just took over my body when they told me that my daughter hung herself and they came for me. I never accepted. I'm like, what happened to her? How did this come about? What happened to her? Who did this to her? You know? And
because
her aunt, the day before I laid my daughter to rest, her aunt came to me with a few messages from members of the travelling community. I do know them. I do know them personally. And she told me that they had been bullying her to this day. Joe, I don't know as of now, because Gardaí have my daughter's phone.
Yeah.
So that's something that I have to wait and see the extent of that.
But even as Jackie Fox points out, who's suffering, as is Aisling, as is Caroline Flack's twin sister and her family.
We can
hear the pain in your voice. But
my only child, Joe, and my life is ruined. It's a life sentence that I'm carrying. My family are devastated. Both families are devastated from this. No mother, no parents should go through this horrendous trolls online that think it's okay to break a person down to the point where they see no way out and they take their life. And it's happening every day. And my message to other little kids that, and it's happening right now as we speak, is don't let them silence you.
Yeah.
Do not live in fear. Please let your family know. Don't let them silence you. Tell someone, tell a peer, tell a teacher, tell somebody. Before they get to this breaking point in their life where they see no return. I also am campaigning alongside Aisling and Jackie with Kaylee's Warriors in memory of my daughter to make awareness about bullying and all the above.
And I see your message here. You say, if I could save one child by sharing Kaylee's story, even though you're in great, great pain and distress.
To say
to young people especially, don't be afraid of, they try and isolate you, that's the plan.
Live in fear. Please tell someone. Yeah. Let no more families be torn apart by silence and fear.
And Aisling, the whole... I'll come back to you in a sec, Mary.
Yeah.
But Aisling, the hashtag emerging from Laura Whitmore is be kind to people. But
yeah.
Do you think, Aisling, that will be heard?
Well, hopefully. I suppose when a celebrity suicide occurs, there's far more awareness because the person was so well known. And other celebrities will now start campaigning for better. I see that Stephanie Davis, former Hollyoaks actress, who would have known Caroline Flack, did a very heartfelt, agonising video yesterday herself about her shock and horror over her friend's death and her anger and her disdain for the press and what is going on. And it shouldn't have to take a celebrity to die for more awareness to be created and for people to be more mindful of their words. But if that's what it needs to take, and very sadly, some good and some hope may come out of it, that it will create more awareness and celebrities will start to endorse our campaigns for better, the One Life Ireland campaign, the Jackie Fox's campaign, Let's Bring in Coco's Law. Mm-hmm. Myself, Mary and Jackie know each other. We're connected in pain and bonded in what we've been through with our children. And we are going to Galway. We've already done our protesting in Limerick. We are going to Galway on the 29th of March. Kayleigh's Warriors, Mia's Army, Jackie Fox and everyone who supports her. We're being supported by the March for Justice Ireland. There are a lot of campaigners getting together now, and we're going to be a force in this country. And we're going to do our very best to raise as much awareness as we can, because this is a national emergency. It's a crisis, and people need to step out from the virtual world and into the real world now, yeah. and see exactly what is happening in front of their eyes, because before long it's going to affect, I think I read an article the other day, it's 1 in 3 youths are suffering with mental health issues at the moment. I mean, that should raise alarm bells in every parent that is raising a child in this country. Words are very powerful. They can be used as a weapon of destruction, or they can be used as a weapon of change. And I choose to use my voice as a weapon of change. And I hope that people will stand with all the campaigners that are out there, all the families that have lost someone through suicide, all the people that are suffering and have just had enough. And we're not going to take it anymore. And we are going to take to the streets like we did with the water charges. And we are going to do what we can to make Ireland a safer and a better place for everyone. Because it doesn't take anything to be kind. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't take anything away from you. It should be a natural thing. It should be a natural thing that comes from each and every person. It's called humanity. And I think we need to get back to basics. And it's time to be humans.
Okay, I'm conscious of the distress. So we'll take a break and we'll regroup after that.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Dermot Lahiff has contacted us. He's been listening to Aisling O'Neill, who lost her daughter. Mia, 16. Jackie Fox, who lost her daughter. She was 16. And Mary Sheehan, who lost Kayleigh, who was 15. All through suicide, all after prolonged episodes on different platforms, but most latterly social platforms. Of bullying. Dermot, your point, please. Good afternoon.
Yes, Dermot Lahiff is my name. I'm the counselling coordinator for Northwest Stop, which is formerly Stop Suicide. And we provide free counselling for people in the Northwest from Galway up to North Donegal, West Mayo, across to West Cavan, Roscommon, Leitrim, Sligo, Longford. And increasingly, we're actually getting calls from either the mothers or parents of a younger age group. Mm-hmm. They're concerned about their children, or even from some children who are requesting counselling support because of the anxiety, because of bullying, because of racism, or a variety of issues which are putting them at risk of considering that life is a more problem than it's worth.
And Dermot, have you noticed a change, especially in a rural area, so to speak, of the demographic of those who are contacting your service?
Well, originally, when we were formed, as I say, by families who lost individuals from suicide. I mean, if you take an area, say, from Ballina to Boyle, across to Belmullet, Ballyshannon, and back to Ballina and Boyle, then, you know, we're experiencing a young age group, somebody losing their life from suicide, perhaps as often as once a week in that area where, you say, as you say, it's not the heavily populated area in the country, and yet the numbers are quite frightening. But the reality is that if people seek help, then there is always the likelihood that they will choose to live rather than to harm themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the key to it, that people...
You were asking about the demographic.
Yes.
We were dealing with, say, quite a number of males, but, say, the 35 to 55 or 68 group, you know, like bachelor farmers,
people
experiencing difficulty with relationships, and various situations like that. But I would say recently the ratio has changed and has gone from that to a 2-to-1 of need of children, younger age group, from 7 to 13 to 15, that kind of...
Wow, from 7?
From 7, yes.
You've had phone calls from 7-year-olds?
Well, from the parents of 7-year-olds.
Parents who, what, are being bullied?
Who have a whole range of difficulties.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a while to get at the nub of the problem. Mm-hmm. But it ranges from bullying over the internet, emails, to texts and phone calls. It also... over their expectations are not being met. Sometimes there's a difficulty in the family and they're experiencing anxiety as a result.
Yeah.
Also, there's a loss of an older sibling, maybe, which does create a problem for the younger age.
Jackie Fox, the organisation and the organisation that you're involved in, I know as Aisling was saying it, but we now need, you were mentioning the fact that we're in this caretaker limbo officially from Thursday, of a caretaker Taoiseach and caretaker minister, some of whom are not even TDs. That's the way that the constitution stands until we get new ministers. But Jackie, do you get much support, or is it just moments like this that come and go when some awful tragedy makes the public eye?
No. I've had amazing support since Nicole died, from everyone, not only in Ireland, from all over the place, but the people in Ireland are just fantastic and support me every day and share everything that I put up in relating to Nicole's law. Absolutely fantastic. And can I just say, what Mary said, it is myself, Mary and Aisling are going through. And it's not only Kaylee and Mia and Nicole that's gone, it's how it's destroyed us. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, I go to a group called HUG, and without HUG, I honestly would not be here today with the amazing support. They're in Talla, Leopardstown and Smithfield from this Tuesday and every second Tuesday. So it's not only Kaylee, Mia and Nicole, it's the ripple effect that it has on the mams, the nans, the grandads, the aunties, the uncles, the cousins. You know, it's a wide, but the support that I've got from people, and not only that, I talk in schools now, I talk in youth reach, I talk in community centres, youth clubs. So I never ever let Nicole's story go quiet, not even for a week. So I still put it out there and keep it fresh in people's minds. So, I'm her voice. Aisling is Mia's voice, and Mary is Kayleigh's voice. And unfortunately, that's what we have to do.
Okay. Mary, are you... I know it's so recent and it will never leave you, but have you been able to get any group support, Mary, or get involved in any organisation that might help in some small way?
Well, I had been getting counselling and Joe, and I've been going to see someone about my mental status, because my own mental status isn't very good, and as you could only imagine, that I'm in a very, very dark place. But I have lots of family support and friends who have continued to support me and to bring me out of this black hole that I have been living in hell. My whole purpose of life was my child, my only child at that. I gave her everything, and for it to be torn away from me, from these people, to take the only thing I loved in life, and I can't, and I never accept it, though. I will never come to terms with it. The pain and the anxiety and the stress and the not sleeping, you not eating, and you're fading away yourself. And I know my little girl wouldn't want me to be like this.
Yeah.
He's the light of my life. And when I'm in my so down and I'm so, so dark, I wake up looking for more. There's a long list of emotions, a wave of emotions to grief. The anger, the stress, the anxiety, the pain, it's excruciating, the suffering that you're never ever going to hold your child again or see her beautiful, vibrant smile. She was a beautiful little child, bubbly little girl. I shouldn't have to go to the graveyard on Friday. I should be going out shopping, go for a meal, she buy jewellery, whatever she wanted, the usual stuff that you do with your kids and stuff like that. But as of now, I have stopped my counselling. I just found that I couldn't relate to the person.
Okay.
I felt that I need to be in a group where I can relate to other mums, dads, brothers, sisters who have lost a child through suicide.
Well, you're united on this platform with Jackie Aisling, and maybe we'll get the three of you afterwards with your permission to share your phone numbers with each other if you wish. And to start, I know Jackie and Aisling have been in touch, to see how we can proceed that. But Mary, as you say, if I could save one child by sharing Kayleigh's story and reminding people of just how powerful and awful and dangerous words can be, from the so-called distance and anonymity online. Mary, God rest Kayleigh, a gorgeous, gorgeous young woman. Nicole as well, Jackie, and Mia, Aisling, the three of you, powerful, powerful. Unfortunately, that you have to come together like this to meet, given the circumstances that have united you, these awful circumstances. Thank you all, and also Dermot Leahy, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie should also mention the Samaritan's number is at 116123. 116123. I should also remind you that this coming Friday week, the end of the month, the end of February's Funny Friday. And for the first time in a long time, we're heading to Galway. We're heading to the Hardyman Hotel, which is in Eyre Square. I think the last time I was in it was the Merrick Hotel. And the last time I was in it before that, it was a Great Southern Hotel. But it's that major iconic hotel in Eyre Square, just right beside the train station. That's Friday week. In Galway with all the Funny Friday crew. Should be good fun in that magnificent city of culture, European city of culture. And we're really looking forward to it. Loads of giveaways, loads of fun. And as per usual, it's totally and completely and absolutely free. That's Friday week in Galway, in what's now known as the Merrick Hotel, the 28th of February and the 29th. Isn't it a leap year this year? So the day, it's the second last day of February. Normally the last day, but it's the second last day of February. Maybe somebody will come along and propose. Don't you propose on them? On the leap year day, the day that doesn't appear for another 4 years. That's Friday week in the Hardyman Hotel, formerly the Merrick, formerly the Grey Southern, but you can't miss it in Eyre Square. It's the most iconic hotel in Galway. Lucy and Mary Hart. Lucy, good afternoon. A teacher, 29. Just awareness, young people, what are they aware of? What age group are you teaching, Lucy?
So I'm primary school level at the moment, Joe, okay. And I was just struck, really, I suppose, by the mothers that you were speaking to earlier on. As Mary Sheehan, that lady called, she referred it as a national crisis, and I couldn't agree more, really. Yeah. I suppose from my perspective, there's no easy solution for this national crisis. But from my perspective, I just feel that we need to start young with our children in schools.
And in what way, Lucy? What do you think we should, like, are you, what age, you're in primary, second class or 8 years of age, what age group are you teaching? Six?
So I've taught actually most classes in schools, most levels, and I started out teaching in secondary school as well. Okay. I've grown up with social media, and I think it'd be wrong to say that no one has ever been a victim of anything on social media. We all have.
Yeah.
But I suppose every week, unfortunately, I have to deal with children in primary school level who's a victim of a comment or something hurtful they've seen on social media, and it has a ripple effect then on school. They come into school upset, or they've figured out that something's happened or something's been said on the playground at lunchtime. And that's something that teachers today have to deal with. Now, some teachers have a problem with it. I personally don't. I see it as my duty of care.
Okay.
But I suppose, yes, we as teachers also are put under pressure to cover curriculum subjects, maths, English, Irish. And there isn't always time and necessary time that we can spend dealing and getting to the bottom of these issues that are going on at home for children. And sometimes, you know, they might not feel comfortable to discuss it with parents, and it falls on teachers. So I suppose there's no easy solution, not saying that there is, but my view is to definitely start young. And I think that we need to give our young people more skills and build up their resilience in order to deal with this social media online abuse, really.
And young people, what they don't understand, the end result that their words, often careless words, can have.
Yeah, awful, awful consequences. And I mean, there is programs out there that we deliver in schools, SPHE programs like Weaving Wellbeing and Stay Safe. And while they are very good, I just feel that they're not specific enough. They often kind of skirt around the other side of, I suppose, social problems. But I don't think that they're specific enough in addressing that, you know, that children, whatever words that they find on their social media platforms, can have devastating consequences. And I suppose that's what children need to be more and more aware of.
Okay. Lucy, thanks indeed. Apologies to the other callers that we couldn't get to, especially after listening to those three incredible women talking about their daughters today. It's Mary, Aisling and Kay. I'm talking about their children. Back tomorrow at 1:45. Joe@rte.ie continues, as you know, continues unabated, 24/7, 365. A lot of people, as I say, very, very moved by Mary Sheehan, Jackie Fox and Aisling O'Neill talking about them. We'll remember them again, Kaylee, Nicole and Mia. 51551, Catherine Thomas is next.